Support for LAist comes from Apple TV+, presenting Lessons in Chemistry, starring Academy Award winner Brie Larson. Scientist Elizabeth Zott accepts a job on a TV cooking show and teaches a nation of housewives more than just recipes. Lessons in Chemistry is a PGA, SAG, WGA, NAACP Image Award, four-time Critics' Choice nominee, and 2024 DGA Award winner, hailed a triumph by Decider. Following this podcast, you can hear a conversation with actresses Brie Larson and Asia Naomi King. More on Lessons in Chemistry at fyc.appletvplus.com.
Support comes from Gloria Kaufman Presents Dance at the Music Center, presenting the Joffrey Ballet's Anna Karenina, Tolstoy's psychological drama about the beautiful but married Anna caught in an affair with a dashing count, at the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion, June 21st through 23rd. Tickets at musiccenter.org.
It's Film Week on LAist 89.3. I'm Larry Mantle. So great to have you with us. And a reminder, coming up on Saturday, May 11th, it's our next Film Week screening series with the classic Double Indemnity, starring Barbara Stanwyck, Edward G. Robinson, Fred McMurray cast against type, and the great Billy Wilder directing. We'll have the film for you at Vidiot's in Eagle Rock starting at 6:30 on Saturday night, May 11th. I'll be introducing the movie and afterwards leading a conversation with the co-authors of a new Turner Classic Movie book about Double Indemnity and our own Film Week critic Claudia Puig as well. It's Saturday night, May 11th at Vidiot's in Eagle Rock. Get your tickets now at LAist.com/events. You heard our critics' review, I Saw the TV Glow, the new film by second-time director Jane Schoenbrunn. It's a story that they consider highly personal, following the character Owen over multiple decades of his life, revisiting identity through the help of an old friend named Maddie. The film brings together elements of childhood nostalgia and horror in the story of a young person who feels different from everyone else in the small town. Joining me are the writer-director of I Saw the TV Glow, Jane Schoenbrunn, and the star of I Saw the TV Glow, Justice Smith. Good to have you both with us.
Good to be here.
Thank you so much. Jane, thanks. Let me start with you and how personal this story is. The element of an old television show that really brings these two characters together. Is that something based on your experience, your affinity, your emotional connection to a television series of your youth?
Definitely. But I think it's actually much more about who I was when I was writing this film, reflecting back on who I was in childhood and who I was in that moment, was somebody who was no longer searching for themselves as a trans person. I had come out. I had started hormone therapy. I had changed my name, but I was someone who was in the very early stages of transition. And the very early stages of transition are an extremely volatile time. They're an extremely volatile time emotionally, obviously, because what you're going through is by its nature uncharted territory, emotionally and physically. But I think it's also a time of intense introspection and reassessment in a way that I think can feel quite overwhelming. Because the other thing, obviously, that you're dealing with when you begin a gender transition is to be forced to reckon with and reassess repression, and along with it, like, all of your notions of, like, real life, home, family, community, the structures that you had always thought of as, like, where you belonged, suddenly, you know, at least in my case, and I think in the case of many trans people, become spaces that feel adversarial to you becoming your true self, and perhaps even, like, a thing that kept you in, kept you hidden from yourself. And so in reckoning with that moment as an artist and really wanting to make work about, yeah, the cataclysmic sort of emotional explosion of having to reassess, like, everything in my life as I started to become myself, I found myself thinking a lot about my suburban childhood, the ways in which it had always felt a bit unreal to me, but then especially the ways in which in television and in TV shows like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, especially, I was able to sort of like glimpse a magic that, though ephemeral, I really clung to and put a lot of myself into because I wasn't ready to live in the real world yet. I like sort of entered fictional universes as a way to cope with the fact that it wasn't safe to be unrepressed.
We're talking with writer-director Jane Schoenbrunn, who is the writer and director of I Saw the TV Glow, which is in release this week. Their directorial debut from 3 years ago was We're All Going to the World's Fair, that also directed, written, and edited by Jane Schoenbrunn. Also with us, the star of I Saw the TV Glow, Justice Smith. His credits include The Get Down, Pokemon Detective Pikachu, and Dungeons and Dragons: Honor Among Thieves. Justice, good to have you with us.
Good to be here.
You get to move in age and in time in this film as it moves over periods, even playing yourself at advanced age here. When you read the script, what attracted you most about the character?
That I didn't understand it. I remember the first time I read it, I was like, I have no idea what the hell I just read, and I have to do this movie. It felt like an odyssey of sorts. You know, we tracked this character over a span of 30 years, I believe, and it was this like intangible allegory for identity and finding yourself and I had never seen anything like that before, and so I knew that I couldn't let it slipped through my fingers. Like, it was a once in a lifetime script and a once in a lifetime character.
Well, you seem like a very self-possessed, kind of outgoing person. You play a character who hasn't really found his place in the world, and that loneliness, that disconnection is just through him and throughout those decades in which you portray the character. And so what are the places you as an actor went to sort of find this young man?
You know, I think I was blessed to have an inclination towards experimenting with identity at a young age, specifically through like different degrees of charisma and extroversion. And but I, you know, everyone in their adolescence is trying to find themselves, you know. So I understand what it means to not know who you are. Or at least to like deny who you are, to run away from who you are. And that's kind of what Owen is doing throughout the film, is he's being drawn to this show as this flame, like a moth to a flame, because the show is it touches on a piece of his authenticity, even though he runs away from that in his waking life as much as possible. And you know, the film is kind of this like cautionary tale of what happens when you deny yourself for that long.
And for you in interpreting the character, did you feel like what he was denying was sort of left amorphous or was it very clear to you what he was denying? Because as the viewer, I mean, I knew that Jane was trans writer director, but I wouldn't pick up that the character was a trans person from the portrayal. Just seemed like someone who's still, you know, disconnected, not finding self. So, how did you think of the character? What was the disconnection?
I had to let Jane handle the metaphor, handle the allegory. I had to play the reality of the circumstance in the present moment. So I couldn't necessarily play this larger like trans allegory. To me, Owen isn't trans, and not to spoil the movie, but he is. How do I say this without spoiling the film? He is, he's not trans. He is like a shell of a person, I'll say.
Yeah.
So I just had to like find the ways in which I could hollow out myself, and a lot of that was in voice and physicality. You know, one of my favorite films is Boogie Nights, and I worked with Julianne Moore on the movie Sharper, and I told her that I was I watched an EPK interview of hers, and she talked about her character in Boogie Nights, how she wanted to separate the voice from the body to make the character as if they're like they're not fully attached, not fully grounded to their body. And I love that. And I told Julia, I was like, I'm stealing that from you. And she's like, oh, actually, you're thinking of my performance in Safe. That I did that in Safe. And I was like, well, I've never seen Safe, so. Because I hear it's amazing.
It's an incredible performance she gives in Boogie Nights.
Yes, I mean, it's phenomenal, yeah. And so but I wanted to bring that element of like his voice is stuck in his upper chest, in his throat. He can't fully express himself. And so he plays in that higher pitch. And with the physicality, I brought a lot of stiffness. I just tried to be as uncomfortable in my
your
skin.
Eyes, mm-hmm. What you communicate in your eyes, too. Very mm-hmm. effective. We're talking with Justice Smith, star of I Saw the TV Glow, also with us, writer-director of I Saw the TV Glow, Jane Schoenbrunn. We'll be back to talk with him about the film, which is out this week. We'll be back in just 1 minute. It's Film Week on LAist 89.3. I'm Larry Mantle. Out in theaters this week is I Saw the TV Glow, a new film by writer-director Jane Schoenbrunn. We're talking with him about the film and what were some of the ideas and childhood experiences that are brought to this original screenplay and directing. And Justice Smith is the star of the film as well. A young man who, very disconnected, very isolated in his suburban world, but really finds through a television series that airs late Saturday night and through a girl at his high school, at his school, who's older than he is, a connection to the fantasy world of that show. And you see the ways in which that plays out over a period of decades. Jane, let's talk about the feeling that you capture in this movie, because to me, it's kind of Twin Peakish in a sense. There is a Lynchian quality in this. How much of that was conscious on your part?
I adore David Lynch, and he's certainly a primary influence. I think of him and Cronenberg as my two dads named David, at least in film terms. I think what draws me to Lynch is the way that he is able to not so much like subvert reality, but play with the viewer's sense of reality using film language until this thing that you're watching has almost started to feel more like a dream. And I think in David Cronenberg, I'm really drawn to his gaze on the body. You know, he's famous for body horror. And I think that as a trans artist, body horror makes a lot of sense to me because it captures the way that the body can be both beautiful and grotesque sometimes at the same time.
And you have a scene in the film, for example, where the two leads go into a club and there is a performer on stage doing kind of ethereal sort of a song. And your camera just then takes you into the performance. And that you know, we've saw that certainly with Twin Peaks, with the musical performances. And it was kind of, to me, like homage to that. But also, it enables you to use the music that accompanies the film, other places in the soundtrack, as a kind of descriptor of the theme of the film itself when you stop for just the music as the 100% of what you're taking in. And speak to that as a director about the usage in that way and what you're hoping the audience experiences.
I think the films that I'm most drawn towards and that I find myself returning to are the ones that don't necessarily move at the fastest and most efficient pace possible as purely tension or plot mechanisms, you know, ways to kind of like take the audience on a roller coaster ride. The films that I love, films like Blade Runner or the works of David Lynch or something like Donnie Darko, they're like leisurely. They can trap you in a mood and they kind of linger in the mind, I think, and in the memory and in dream for a long time after the movie's over, exactly because of the space that they give to rhythm, aesthetic, tone, etc. In this film, I also was very consciously trying to create like a new teen angst classic in the tradition of so many of like the movies that I grew up with as like a young person in the late 1990s. Again, movies like Donnie Darko or Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I was also very much playing on the like, yeah, like you said, this lineage of like live music in a club in town, which is a huge trope of like 90s television, which is this is a movie about 90s television. You know, it seems that the characters every week were going to the local club on Buffy or Party of Five or whatever to hear a band play their new single. And I just took great pleasure in sort of mingling these two genres, like the teen angst films of my youth and the television of my youth, and trying to make something that wasn't just homage, but could sort of feel almost like a memory of how
Well,
it felt to watch it.
one of the fascinating things, and I want to be careful how I say this so I don't give away, but we see the television program that is at the center of the film appears very different later in the movie than it did earlier on, which I thought was so good because it gives a sense of how we see something based on what we need in the moment that we're seeing it. And looking at it with more objective eyes, realize, well, that's not really what it was. And I just thought that was a great touch that you did because it risked undermining sort of the image from earlier, but actually had its own impact.
Yeah, I think that so much of the movie is about the way that when you're young, looking for something beautiful or something that can express your own identity, yeah, like a cheap Canadian co-production television show that airs at 9:30 p.m. on, you know, the kids' TV network can feel all-encompassing and terrifying and endlessly beautiful, and viewed later in life, once you've drifted away from whatever it was that you felt you needed to find, when you found it as a kid, it can feel totally different. I think in the film, it's also very much about shame. Owen, his character arc in the movie is, as Justice was speaking to, is sort of not so much about growth, but about deterioration and becoming, yeah, like emptied out, hollow, a shell of self. And by the time he reaches the end of the movie, this childlike wonder that he was able to gaze upon this show with has been stolen from him. And so I think it's not just about the way that crummy old TV shows were actually not as cool as we remember them, but it's also about the way that adulthood and specifically repression can steal love from you.
We're talking about the movie I saw, the TV Glow, with its writer-director Jane Schoenbrunn and star of the film Justice Smith. Justice, there's so much poignancy in your character as Owen goes through these different phases of his life. And when you're playing him older and that emptiness that you were talking about earlier, what did you tap into as a young man portraying someone so much older with that feeling that some older people do have, that their life didn't amount to what they hoped it would be.
Yeah, for me, I didn't want to broadcast Owen's age. I wanted to broadcast his deterioration, as Jane was saying. Like, I wanted to m manifest what death looks like in the body, like what it means to be a walking corpse. And you know, when I watch people in my family who are older, you know, death is slowly knocking on their door, and the way that they move, and they're specifically like how tight their joints are, how like it feels like it hurts to exist. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's exactly the place that Owen's in. And the beautiful part is at the end of the film is his, it's the culmination it's kind of like the final evolution of his asthma, and I wanted it to sound like even his involuntary processes were difficult, like just living was
Yeah.
strained.
everything was hard. Justice, thank you so much for joining us and talking about the very challenging role in I Saw the TV Glow. Thank you so much for being with us.
Absolutely. Appreciate
Thanks
for having
it. Me. Justice Smith, also starring in The Get Down, Pokemon Detective Pikachu, and Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Among Thieves. My thanks to writer-director Jane Schoenbrunn of I Saw the TV Glow. Jane, thank you very much. Appreciate having you with us.
Thanks for having me.
It's Film Week on LA, Estate 89.3. For our critics, I'm Larry Mantle. Have a wonderful weekend.
Support for LAist comes from Apple TV+. Presenting Lessons in Chemistry, starring Academy Award winner Brie Larson as scientist Elizabeth Zott.
Lessons in Chemistry is focused on a chemist who can't seem to quite make it through the political game and the misogyny that's happening in the world of science in the 50s. And as she's making her way through trying to make this great discovery about abiogenesis, about the origin of life, life happens to her. She experiences love and loss and an unexpected pregnancy. And all of these things move her into this direction of starting this TV show called Separate Six, where she becomes famous for something that she never thought she would be famous for, which is cooking. And that's because she has this unique perspective on it, where she's able to take all of the things that she loves about science and apply it to cooking. When you're thinking about Lessons in Chemistry, it's a play on so many different things. Yes, it's about science and chemistry, but it's also about that inexplicable connection of chemistry you can have when you're falling in love, the chemicals inside of our bodies and the chemistry that makes us up and makes life happen. And it's also about the way that life can surprise you, the way that you can't always predict and plan out. Elizabeth has to make real choices in terms of how her voice and how these things will affect her community, how it'll affect the crew and their pay. In this case, we're telling a story about a woman. And so for me, it relieves the pressure when there's a lot of women in the room, because then it's not just up to me to decide what female representation is in this case. There's so many examples on screen, but then you also have it behind the camera as well. So whether it's props or production design or costumes, you're getting that experience in every layer of it. So it was very important to us that you were seeing various representations of what it is to be a woman, to advocate for yourself, to rise and fall.
Asia Naomi King stars as Elizabeth's neighbor, Harriet Sloan.
She's a phenomenal woman. I am so inspired by her. I am so in love with her. She is driven. She has this moral compass. She really seeks out justice in every aspect of her life. But she's so much more than that. She's a great friend. She's a great mother and wife. And she's an activist. And she really takes part in her community. And part of what pushes her forward is that she chose to be a mother. And I just found a lot of those themes really moving and palpable with like what's important to me in my life and the things that I seek out, self-worth and community and love, but beyond romantic love, like love in the greater sense, love of self, love of family, love of community. I just feel like people are going to want to engage in this story, that it's going to remind them of their own capacity for greatness.
Lessons in Chemistry is a PGA, SAG, WGA, NAACP Image Award, four-time Critics' Choice nominee, and 2024 DGA Award winner, hailed a triumph by Decider. More on Lessons in Chemistry at fyc.appletvplus.com.